you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. A while back in July actually, I began reading a book called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony Grenke. In that little book, which I've read on my Kindle, I have found tremendous insights that has helped me to think through things in the technology aspect in the digital world and some biblical principles that relate to it that I have not considered before. Not that I shouldn't have considered, but I should have considered. And God taught me some things and helped me to make some adjustments mentally. And we need to do that sometimes, don't we? Renewing of the mind is how our lives are transformed. And Bible truth helps us to do that. And so much of the material I'll be sharing in this series is adapted from the book that I read. I have not built my outlines necessarily around the book, but I've tried to draw the Bible truths and things that I gleaned from it that I thought would be a help to you. Some things that I was reminded of is the lineage of technological advancement. We can go back to longbows and arrows and people providing for their families and wheels and axles. I was in Wisconsin during my college years, and we went over to Joe and Nancy Van Evers, just special people in our lives that took us in as college students, and we spent the afternoon. Well, he had the Model T Ford that we rode in, and you know, all those technological advancements that in that day, man, this is great. You know, this is we've never had this before. Clocks and watches and steam engines and railroads and cars and jets and computers and even these little things called smartphones that sit in your hands today. Every new technology opens humanity to new dreams and hopes and aspirations. And technology changes fundamental aspects of our society. And it always has. God's image bearers would learn to grow food strategically. God would put Adam in the garden and learn to manage the garden and learn to take care of what was there, and so that he could have produce and have food and provide for his family. Technology is used to subdue creation for human good, but also to increase efficiency. Farming is an example of technology built from the Creator's intelligence given to mankind. And so farmers have learned over the years how to keep the weeds from growing and what to put into the soil to help crops grow and how to move from the old push plow to tractors and combines and all of those things today. Technology, someone said, is the reordering of raw materials for human purposes. And that's happened throughout world history. Today, chefs and cooks reorder the raw materials of food into delicious meals, and you may get to enjoy some of that from Gretna's kitchen at camp. Musicians reorder the sound of notes into music and write songs, and novelists reorder the raw material of stories and human history into written stories that you can enjoy. Women use pain-suppressing technology in childbirth and are thankful for it in most cases. Fashion designers use fabric to cover our bodies sometimes. Power and superiority rest on technology, atomic weapons, warships, drones, fighter jets, missiles, video or joystick cameras that you can send a missile on the other side of the world and destroy an enemy, which America has done. Technology. God's words were first scratched on what? Stone, right? The Ten Commandments. Then processed on animal skins, if you study the history of how we got what we have today in our Bible. Then on products of trees, right? Over time, the scrolls of the Old Testament, the many books and letters of the New Testament, were gathered in a codex, translated and mass published, until we have what we have today. Aren't you glad for technology? I'm glad we don't only have the stones. I'm glad we have a copy of the Word of God in our language. I'm very thankful for that. The truth is, technology can be used for good or bad. That's one of the introductory statements I want to give you in this study on biblical thinking in the digital world. Technology is not inherently evil, but we do have to be reminded that technology gets in sinners' hands. That includes us, by the way. And so it can turn bad. On the bad side of things, Babel was man's attempt to hijack technology and to fabricate an entire society and religious life in rebellion to the Creator. God, we're going to do it our way. So God scattered the builders of the Babel across the globe by a variety of languages. And it reminds us of the second truth about technology I want, by way of introduction tonight, to give you. And that is that God is sovereign over technology. Men tried to accomplish what they wanted to do at Babel, and God foiled it and made a mock of it. And then you take that over to the cross. God made wood for men to be able to build and be able to use those raw resources in a variety of ways. But man used wood to destroy men through the cross. But God had a plan in all of that, and He hijacked Calvary and accomplished His overall purpose for all of mankind. Because God is sovereign over all, my friend, even over the technology of this world. Think about this. Think about all the weapons that all the nations have. And someday, at the Battle of Armageddon, God's going to destroy all of them with the sword of His mouth. Their warplanes aren't going to matter. Their drones aren't going to matter. Their army's not going to matter. All the sophistication that we have in the military is not going to matter. God's going to be sovereign over it all one day and destroy all the nations. That's unbelievable as you think about this. And so, in this series, I want to point out a number of biblical principles to help you think in a world that is digitally oriented. Now, some of you are less digitally oriented than others. I understand that. And some of you probably live digitally hours upon hours a day in your life, maybe because of your job, maybe because you're attached to a computer screen. Or if you're like me, I have lots of phone calls that I take and with people and so on. And so my goal is not to paint an evil picture of a device or anything. My goal is for you to think biblically. There's a statement in the book that threw me. It caught me, and it caught me heavy. And here's the statement. Thoughtlessly adopting new technology is worldliness. Let me say it again. Thoughtlessly adopting new technology is worldliness. When I read that statement in that book, boom, jolt, I stopped, I highlighted it on my Kindle, I sent it as an email to my phone, because the world adopts new technology without any biblical thinking. But as Christians, our overall goal is what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That means with whatever comes into our world in the way of technology, we should be putting it through certain filters, shouldn't we? And saying, how can I glorify God with this? But dear Christian, for us not to think biblically on these matters and just go with the flow, guess what? We're going to end up using the technology for the same thing that the world uses the technology for. And to do it thoughtlessly is going to lead us to worldliness. That thought caught me. You think about this. Technology changes how we relate to the earth. With a GPS app, I can see my exact place on earth. It's funny. I have an app on my phone. I don't have my phone with me tonight. But I have an app on my phone that if I lose my phone, I can type in an email and I can find where my phone is. A few months ago, one of my children lost their phone. I said, oh, wait, I've got a filter on your phone that I can track texting and internet and everything. I can also track where it's at. Oh, it's over at Dirks' house. Dirks, do you have Alyssa's phone? Yep, it's here. I knew you did. Because this app told me the phone's over there. Amazing. Have you heard of anything like that in your life previous to the last 10, 15 years? This is crazy. Secondly, technology changes the way that we relate to one another. And thirdly, technology changes the way we relate to God. That means we better think biblically. Those are important things. I want to share some statistics with you as I start the series. As of 2015, among American adults 18 to 29 years old, 86% owned a smartphone, up from 52% 4 years earlier. In the same demographic, 50% owned a tablet, up from just 13% 4 years earlier. Concurrent among the same demographic, ownership of computers, MP3 players, game consoles, and e-book readers declined. Our phones are gobbling up all these functions. People don't buy tablets today. You talk to somebody about an MP3 player. Why do you need an MP3 player? I can get all my music right on my phone. I have, in my phone, I have probably 400 hymns saved on my phone. I can play anytime. I can play them through my car radio. I have unlimited, basically, unlimited good music. I took all of our CDs and I made them into MP3s, threw them on my phone, and they're all there. Why do I need an MP3 player? Why do I need a tablet? What? Interesting. Interesting how things have shaped. In fact, 36% of 18 to 29-year-olds in America admit they are online almost constantly. And so here's what I want you to think through biblically tonight, all right, in the last 10 to 15 minutes that we have together. I want you to think through this danger in living in a digital world. And the danger is the danger of distraction. The danger of distraction. True distraction includes anything that veils our spiritual eyes from the needs of others, from our own spiritual needs, and from our relationship to Christ. If anything blocks that in your life, ma'am, sir, young person, you're distracted from better things. All right? No man can serve two masters, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I want you to know that the distractions in the digital age don't just vie for time. They vie for attention and addiction. If you're honest tonight, you would have to agree with that. If you have any access to any of those kinds of devices that I'm talking about tonight, I'm not saying they're evil. I'm not saying technology is evil. I'm saying there's a danger. And the danger is the danger of distraction. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, verses 15 and 16. The statistics say the average American college student wastes 20% of class time tinkering on a digital device. 20% of their instruction time on a digital device. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It was a couple of weeks ago we were sitting in Life and Leadership studying Proverbs 4 together, and we were talking about wisdom. Some of the guys will remember. And we're talking about wisdom passed down from fathers. And I went around to the guys and I said, okay, share with me a point of wisdom that your fathers have given you. And Kyle McCleary was in there that evening. And Kyle piped up and said, work first, play later. Adam was sitting across the room. Now, Kyle, Jerry's son, right? Adam, Kenton's son. Adam kicked back and laughed and said, Boy, have I ever heard that a lot. Work hard, play later. Guess what is a danger in America today with devices, with the younger generation coming up? Play now. Play later. Never work. The truth of the matter is, in the digital world in which we live in, there's a strong temptation. There's a strong temptation that keeps people from working because of their addiction to digital devices. It keeps women from taking care of their homes and being a keeper of the home. It keeps young people from doing schoolwork in classes and in schools. It keeps us from fulfilling, it can keep us from fulfilling our duties. Hey, listen to what Ephesians says. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We've got to use our time properly. And may I remind you, all of you tonight, every day we have daily responsibilities. We have daily responsibilities to our family. We have daily responsibilities to our job. We have daily responsibilities to neighbors and country and God. We have daily responsibilities. And the truth is, in a digital age, there's a temptation to be distracted from fulfilling personal responsibility. That's a big time danger. What if we don't fulfill our responsibilities and somebody else suffers, don't they? That is real. Digital distractions don't only keep us from work, or they can, the test of responsibility, but digital distractions keep us from communication and relationships. Listen to this verse carefully. Matthew 22, verse number 37. For thou shalt love the Lord thy God with, what's the next word? All. What? Thy heart. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. Now, folks, I don't know about you. I live with digital devices. But I got to tell you that my mind is more disturbed and in all kinds of orbits the longer I spend on these things. And I'm to love God with all my mind. Guess what? There's a danger of distraction. There's a danger of distraction with my relationship with the Lord, but there's also a danger of distraction in my relationship with others. Some homes are turning into come together for supper. So-and-so goes to their room. So-and-so goes downstairs. So-and-so goes to the living room. And they're all on their devices the rest of the night. There's no relationship. There's no talk time anymore. Fathers, can I speak to your hearts tonight? That's not good. That is causing a relationship or relationships to suffer in your home. You know what breeds relationships? You know this? Communication. No communication. Everybody doing their own thing independently. Good? No, not good. Dads, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to think about some adjustments. For the sake of your children, for the sake of your family, for the sake of having closer relationships, changing things up in your home and not just allowing to coast with what everybody else is doing. This thing threatens, it threatens distractions, digital distractions in our day and age threaten the relationships of your family. And it doesn't mean that they're doing something bad in their bedroom or down in the living room. It just means that everybody's doing their own thing and nobody's talking to one another. And nobody's finding out, how'd your day go? Hey, what happened at work today? And we lose the small talk and we lose the relationships because whatever's happening on the phone is so important to us. Unchecked distractions have tremendous impact on us. Numbers of times in the New Testament, the Bible speaks about distractions. It's called cares. If you study the Bible in the New Testament, you'll find that unchecked distractions, so I'm talking about distractions that we're not managing wisely, they contribute to the unfruitfulness of the Word in our lives. So when we're distracted with something, And the Lord's trying to talk to us. And the Lord's trying to get the Word of God into our hearts and wants to change us and wants to speak to us. You know what cares? You know what distractions do? They choke the Word. You know why the young generation has a hard time sitting through a preaching service? Because a lot of the young generation lives on this thing. And coming to church and sitting and hearing the Word of God, choke, 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 choke. I'm not interested. It's having no effect on me. Distractions do that. Unchecked and uncontrolled distractions close off fellowship with God. It did for Martha in Luke chapter 10. She was distracted with something good, serving the Lord. But the Bible calls it a care, and he said this one needful thing. I've asked myself questions like this. What is needful about Facebook in my life? Or Twitter? Or Instagram? And we go on. Am I saying that all of it's evil? No, I'm just asking a question. Christ told Mary, one needful thing. One needful thing. Spend time with me. What's needful about all that other stuff? I usually am not spending time with Jesus. I know that. If I'm in all that all the time, it becomes a distraction. It can become a distraction. Unchecked and uncontrolled distractions cause us to neglect and forget about judgment. So I'm reading the book. One of the things that he brings out is this. When you stand before the Lord someday, and he reveals the hours of screen time in your life, are you going to be proud about that? And what it accomplished? Ouch. Judgment's coming. And one of the things he points out in the book that's very helpful is we run to have a complex life to fill our idle time, to fill our dead time. Because we don't like quiet time. Quiet time causes us to think about realities. Quiet time causes us to think maybe about our relationship with God. And we don't like quiet time, so we want to fill it up with noise in our lives. Christian, all I'm saying tonight is we're living in a digital world. You can't change that, okay? But you can manage distractions in your life. Listen, every culture throughout history has had distractions. It's not like you can go back to their day in Bible times and say, well, they didn't have a TV and they didn't have to deal with a tablet. They didn't have to deal with phones and they didn't have to deal with the movie screens and DVDs. You know what? Jesus wrote to them about distractions. Because every culture throughout history has had distractions. But it's how we manage them. And digital distractions can affect us in a great way. Websites, phone usage, social media, movies, online shopping can distract us from daily responsibilities, can distract us from daily relationships. And brethren, if we're thoughtlessly adopting all of this and just taking it in and just taking it in and taking it in, guess what? We are no different than the world. That's what the world does. The world takes it all in. Whatever comes their way, feed me more. Feed me more. Oh, there's more uses to one device. Right? And so, have you considered asking the question, how can I glorify the Lord with the devices that I own or that are in my home? I want you to know that we must battle the distraction side of things. Here's a quote from the author of the book. The more distracted we are digitally, the more displaced we become spiritually. I want you to know America is distracted today. It's why it's hard to reach the heart. It's why it's hard to even talk to somebody's heart. Because their mind is spinning with all kinds of distractions. We're in an info age that you get so much information in a day, you don't even know. You get to the end of the day, like, my word, I can't believe all that came through my ears or my eyes or whatever today. Can I give you some questions as I close tonight? Ask yourself this question. Do my digital world habits expose an underlying addiction to untimely amusements? Your habits. I don't know your life. I know my life. Do they expose an underlying addiction to untimely amusements? Did you know simply on Facebook, the average person checks Facebook 82 times a day and spends 45 minutes on it? Interesting. Do my digital world habits reveal a compulsive desire to be seen and affirmed? Some people, they just post to see how many likes they can get. They're just on I just need somebody to show me attention somehow. Do my digital habits distract me from genuine fellowship with God? Dear Christian, I know some of you use devotional apps, and I have them, and I read them. I read Spurgeon's Checkbook of Faith, The Promises, and it encourages my heart. I read a couple other devotionals. I read F.B. Meyer's devotional. I read Streams in the Desert devotional on my phone from time to time. These devotionals are helpful. But I will tell you this, they don't give me anything near to when I open my Bible with me and God. I would encourage you not to necessarily throw out the devotions and take them off your phone. They're good. But I would encourage you when you have devotions in the morning, don't take your phone with you. Take your Bible. Take a pen. Journal some things that God gave you. And I'll tell you, you'll get a lot more than a 3-minute devotional that you read that was good, that maybe you got something from. I want to encourage you on some of these fronts to evaluate. Do my digital habits distract me from genuine fellowship? Do my digital habits provide an easy escape from sobered thinking about my death, the return of Christ, eternal realities, the judgment? Am I just using it as an escape? It's a good evaluation. Do my smartphone habits preoccupy me with the pursuit of worldly success? Good questions. Do my smartphone habits mute the sporadic leading of God's Spirit in my life? Noise. I think it was Tim Keller who was asked, why don't a lot of young people understand a real relationship with God? And he basically responded with, they like to tweet more than they like to hear. Their life is not built around that. Their life is, we've been preaching on the Spirit of God, but if you're constantly engaged with these devices and everything on them, the Spirit of God has no place, no room to speak. And so there's this vacancy in the heart that the digital device fulfills everything in my life, but it leaves an emptiness because it cannot fill the soul. Only Christ can do that. Do my smartphone habits disengage me from the needs of others around me? Do my smartphone habits center on what is necessary to me and beneficial to others? Do my smartphone habits build up Christians in my local church? I don't know about you, but I want Christ to live in me and not the energy of something else. And dear Christian, all I'm saying is in this series, it's good for us to think through things. It's good for us to evaluate things from Bible principle truths and not just be caught up in the current. Now, may I say this as I close the sermon tonight? If you're going to fight the distraction side of it, you are going to swim up current. And it will not be easy. But I will tell you this, it will be profitable. And so would you let God in the coming weeks as we go through these principles, would you just let God the Spirit just reveal to you maybe something that you need to change in this area in order that you redeem the time and that you walk circumspectly because the days are evil and that you glorify God. Because whatever we do, we are to be glorifying God.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.